So I was out on Black Friday playing nine holes of golf with my brothers at the Las Positas golf course. There's a little nine-hole thing and an 18, and there's a traffic jam on 580 going out, and there's that new outlet mall there, and it was backed up for a half a mile on the freeway to get off the freeway to get into the mall. And then when we were playing golf, I looked over the airport that's there, and we're a mile north of the golf or the mall by there, and it looked like there was a parking lot, and it was cars trying to get into the parking lot at the shopping mall. And then when I left the golf course, again, it was a traffic jam on 580 getting into the traffic mall. So when we talk about simply Christmas, in the midst of all of this stuff, all of this activity, in fact, all of these lights and bows and everything like that, we're in the next couple of weeks going to look at what is the simple, wonderful message of Christmas. We kind of got to do some spiritual archaeology here to get to the foundation. It's under these layers of cultural accomplishment and accoutrement that we've added on top of it, and it's this: fear not. Good news of great joy. I've just given you the three-week outline. Why are we talking today about fear not as part of the simple message of Christmas? So it turns out fear is a big deal in the Bible and in the Christmas story and addressing our fears. Matter of fact, in the Bible, 365 times you hear the phrase, do not be afraid. That's like one for every day. It's that prominent. In the Christmas story, four times you hear, don't be afraid, to Zechariah. Don't be afraid, to Joseph. Don't be afraid, to Mary. Don't be afraid, to the shepherds. It's like a huge section of the Christmas message is addressing our fears. So this morning, I'm going to talk about Joseph's fears. Kathy's going to talk about Mary's, and I'm going to wrap it up with the shepherds. And we're going to build bridges to your and my fears. And what does the Christmas message have to say about it? Now, why does God care so much about fear? Well, what we do know about fear is it's a natural and an important basic human response to something that we perceive as a threat coming at us. And we either go into flight or fight mode. And as we choose fight, our body reacts to that decision, that response to fear. And hormones kick into place that, first of all, they shut down the digestive system. So you don't get hungry when you're filled with fear because it's an unnecessary function. So stuff starts happening down here. When fear hormones start kicking in, your heart rate bumps up. Blood flies to your muscles and to the part of your brain called the amygdala, that governs the perceptions and the actions so that you have a heightened eye clarity. You get a strong memory of sights and sounds, smells, the atmosphere, the day, all that stuff registers deeply in your brain as you get ready for this intense action. The parts of your brain that do the rational thinking, they get shut down a little bit. And so you're in quick decision mode. Now, what happens when you get chronic fear? When it becomes a way of being, when you are afraid. Gastrointestinal problems, ulcers, because you weren't meant to live in this. Heart issues, because we weren't meant to live in constant arousal. Fatigue, depression, shortened lifespan, premature death. No wonder God says, don't be afraid, because of the impacts of it. So we're looking at don't be afraid, and I'd like to have us look, first of all, at Joseph's fear. Come with me, if you would, it's going to be on the screen, to Matthew's Gospel, first chapter, verse 18 and following. Here's Joseph. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, wink, wink, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Okay. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Joseph has this traumatic experience come into his life, this news that his fiance, to whom he is engaged, and in that culture also called his wife, but before they had had sex, she's pregnant. We read that he is a man who wants to honor God. He has been sexually faithful. He wants to be faithful to the law, to live before God. And he is now faced with this churning fear, this threat to his whole hope and future, and fight or flight. And we read that he's choosing flight, right? Put her away, divorce her quietly, so she can go marry whoever she has going to have the baby with, because it's not him. And I don't mean to do her wrong, but he's thinking, I don't want to connect and commit my life to this person who is not the woman I thought she was when we started getting together. Now, let me build a bridge here. Any of you related to someone for life who is not the person you thought they were when you started? I've heard that women marry guys they think they can fix. And we're just so hard to fix. Barbie's now 41 years into this thing, and she says, there's no way I'm trading him in. I worked on him for that long. And Joseph says, I think I want out of this. Because he's afraid of what it might mean. This is what happens, verse 20. After he'd considered this, and by the way, considered it probably with his stomach churning, and his heart racing, and his mind flying. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of Mary, here it is, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid of what? Do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Do not be afraid. What do you mean? Afraid of what? What would he be afraid of? Afraid of dishonoring God? He's wanting to be faithful to the law, live as God would have him do, and that means a life of fidelity in the marital relationship, and he wants to do the right thing, and is this honoring God? Secondly, afraid of the people, right? There's no way they can understand what's gone on, then he can explain it in a rational way. And so he is going to be subject to ridicule, scandal, misunderstanding. He's going to be called a fool, as his wife has had someone else's child, for the rest of his life. That's real. And he could be afraid of all that stuff. And the only explanation that's given here, by the way, is this. It's by the Holy Spirit. It's from the Holy Spirit. However this birth is happening, God is in it. Okay, all of you who understand the biology of this, raise your tail. I mean, okay, that's all we're told, that the Holy Spirit is in it. Now, we live in the 21st century. We understand the situation of DNA, right? The wife contributes half, and the husband contributes half, and you make a whole. We got Mary, and we have X. And Joseph is told it's from the Holy Spirit. God is in this. I guarantee you there is no way Joseph can understand what's going on. And I want to say to you, there's no way you can understand how God is working in your life. And you, too, are going to face things in your family that are going to cause you fight or flight, that are going to churn your stomach, race your heart, spin your head, where you're going to have to decide, how am I going to behave? And the angel's word to Joseph can also be his word to us, I think. Don't be afraid to stay committed and connected and caring for those in your family, those in your most intimate family, even though you don't understand them. They are not the person you thought they were. You don't understand what's going on, but the Holy Spirit of God is at work in your relationship. Does that make sense? Oh, by the way, I'm not going to take away the things that make for fear. The stuff that's happening out there, it's real. The finances are going to be bad, potentially. The relationships are going to be tenuous. The outside world isn't going to understand. And I want you to hang in there and honor God by caring for people that confuse you and who cause you hurt. Verse 21, this is fascinating. She will give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus, which, or Yeshua, The word is Savior, literally, because he will save his people from his sins. It's like he says, do not call him Joseph Jr. because he's not yours. I'm doing other things than building your family. I'm saving my people from their sins. My oldest granddaughter is named Callie Scott Coffin. I get naming in there, in her very identity. My oldest grandson is Scott Todd Farmer. I get honored. I get named in that. That's really a treat. Joseph didn't get that. As a matter of fact, Jesus is called Jesus the Son of Mary throughout his life. Joseph is recognized as an outsider. And in his very identity, Jesus is greater than what's going on in the family. Now, Joe raised Jesus. Remember at age 12, it was the annual custom, and at age 12 they came down to Jerusalem for the festival. Joseph is in the picture. He's caring. He kept his head and his faith. He doesn't succumb to bitterness and revenge. He doesn't let them overwhelm him. He had the courage to face the fears that came appropriately into his life, unafraid, and take Mary home as his wife to honor God and care for Mary while hurting. Now, let me build the bridge to you. There are things going on in your family that there is no way that you understand. I guarantee it. And God is not giving you a very full explanation. I guarantee it. But like Joseph and Mary, what is happening to you is of the Holy Spirit, from the Holy Spirit. It is part of what God is doing in the world. And you too have a choice in the midst of your churning stomach, your thumping heart, your spinning head of fight or flight. Don't be afraid to honor God by caring for your family while you're hurting and confused. And I would say that whatever trial you're going through, whatever it looks like, it can prove God more than you can imagine. Because God is still working to Jesus his people, to save his people from their sins. And the way you live in your family can bring glory to God. Now, I love this verse 24 then. Look at this. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded and took home Mary home as his wife. He did what was called for. Now, I want to move beyond the family in two illustrations. We are very involved as a church with a ministry called Shepherd's Gate, headquartered in Livermore and now out in Brentwood, that cares for women who've been abused, battered, left homeless, often have children. And they go there to get rescue and hope. And last week, I got a Christmas letter from Shepherd's Gate, and in it was a letter from Noreen. And it's a woman walking into the future of her life unafraid when she doesn't understand what's gone on in the past. I hope your situation is not this, but even if it is, we can find what Noreen found. She calls this courageous. Courage is walking through your fears with a greater peace and obeying God in the midst of it. She writes, it takes courage to smile through the suffering. It takes courage to keep forgiving. It takes courage to be kind in the face of adversity. It takes courage to stand for what you believe in. It takes courage to, in the face of cruelty, it takes courage to keep an open heart and mind through the ongoing pain and anguish. It takes courage to smile in times of deep sadness, to smile and be happy where there is fear and anger and sadness. It takes courage to stand up against evil. It takes courage to love oneself, to surrender to the Lord, to follow the Lord, to be happy and healthy, to be strong and defeat the odds, to stay open-hearted against all the odds, and to be light in the darkness. And that's what Noreen experienced. And that's what Joseph experienced. Be not afraid. Be courageous. Why? Because God is with you through Jesus to save. This week, Pope Francis was in Bangui, Central African Republic. And I love what the media said about his visit. He went to an enclave of about where 100 Muslims were surrounded, barricaded in and surrounded by a Christian militia in this horrific ghetto in a country that has been war-torn, and there are over a million refugees in the Central African Republic from the conflict. And Pope Francis goes in there with his open-air Pope Mobile. In other words, saying, go ahead and shoot me if you want. I'm here where you can get me. And he goes in there and he says, folks, you've got to choose faith over fear. You've got to put down your violence in the name of God and in the name of religion. And he went into a Muslim mosque and he prayed in the name of Jesus for that war-torn country. Folks, that is be not afraid. Doing what the angel says, and not only taking on their own fearful situations, but walking into fearful situations. You and I are agents of Christ's courage into a broken world. Let me ask you some questions. Has God allowed something into your life that could cause you to be afraid? Second, can you trust that God is still working by His Holy Spirit in you and through you? Can you? And can you find the peace to obey God and to love the confusing and hurting people in your life instead of fleeing? If so, you get Christmas. Mary was also afraid. Here's Kath.
Sometimes when we face fears, we want to take control. We want somehow to try to make sense of things, and we live in a world right now where there's a lot of fear. Fear of terrorism, fear of natural disasters, fear for the safety of our own family members. And so we do things sometimes to try to make sure that our world is safe, that we're going to be safe, so that we have that kind of courage and strength. And I see how Mary and Joseph both, they chose to step out in faith instead of just being paralyzed by fear. Yesterday, we had a wonderful Christmas event for our women's ministries over at Round Hill Country Club with over 560 women gathered for our breakfast and lunch, and a great time of celebration. I told a story, one of my favorite Christmas stories, of a little boy, and we have children leading us in worship this morning, but it was a little boy who decided instead of writing a letter to Santa, he would go one up and write a letter to Jesus instead for his Christmas list. And so he wrote, "Dear Jesus, this year I really want to have a PlayStation, and if you give me a PlayStation, I promise I'll be good for a whole year." And then he thought about that, and he got, wow, that's way too much for me. So he tore up the piece of paper. He threw it down, took another piece of paper, and wrote, "Dear Jesus, if you give me a PlayStation, I promise I'll be good for a whole month." And then he thought about that, and he goes, I can't do that either. He tore up the piece of paper, and he ran downstairs to the nativity scene that his mom had set up, and he took the statue of the mother of Mary, and he grabbed it, and he ran upstairs, and he wrapped Mary up in some wrapping paper, and then he hid her in the closet. And he went back to his desk, grabbed his piece of paper and pen, and he said, "Dear Jesus, if you ever want to see your mother again..." Sometimes fear causes us to do some crazy things, doesn't it? I remember as a little girl, I used to just pile, when I went to bed at night, I'd pile all my stuffed animals over the top of me because I thought somehow that would protect me. Well, God tells us throughout Scripture not to fear, and in Mary's story, who is our next fear not, I want you to see how Mary responds to the angel's words to her. This is in Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 26. God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words. That's a little bit of an understatement, don't you think? And wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, would you read this with me? "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God." Thank you. And then God's word goes on to tell us, "You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. And then we have this wonderful question from Mary. How will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I'm a virgin? Well, Mary has captured the attention, the imagination of people for centuries, and there's a picture of Mary. Mary, sometimes I think we picture her differently, but she was just a young Jewish teenage girl, a peasant, actually, probably the age of 14 or 15, and as we know, she was pledged to be married to Joseph. So as she hears these words from the angel Gabriel, she must have been gripped with fear. Fear of how Joseph, first of all, was going to respond to this news. And how her family, she probably lived at home at the time, how her parents were going to respond to this news. How her community would. Fear of rejection, fear of all those whispers in the community as people found out what had happened. Fear of her future, probably from the time of a little girl, she dreamed about being married and raising a family. And now this. It's as though her whole life had been pulled out from under her. Many of us face those kind of fears, and Mary faces, if anybody was surprised by this fear, it would be Mary. Mary didn't cause this to happen, as we know, and as we heard as Joseph about Joseph as well, the Holy Spirit would come upon Mary, and she would conceive and give birth to Jesus. Well, we have a hard time believing in miracles as well, and I'm sure Mary had a difficult time with this news. But look again at the words from Gabriel. He says, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Don't be afraid." We need to hear those words again, even in the midst of our own fears, that you and I have had found favor with God. And I love how Gabriel says, greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Every time we think about Christmas, we know those words, the Lord is with you, God is with you. That's another meaning for Emmanuel. Jesus is here because God has given us the gift of his son. God's words to Mary are his words to us as well. You and I are highly favored. The Lord is with us. And we need to hear that even in the midst of our own fear. The fear of loss, the fear of rejection, the fear of humiliation or of shame. The Lord is with you. You and I are highly favored. Mary conceived Christ and we receive Christ as we invite Jesus to come into our lives, as we receive his gift of salvation and eternal life. And Mary bore Christ into the world. We get to bear Christ. As Christ lives within us, we get to be the light of Christ into the world. Mary steps out in faith, and we see that in verse 38. She says, "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." And then the angel left her. I pray that Mary's response would be our response when we find ourselves gripped with fear, that we would allow the Lord's will to be done in our lives and we would hear his words again. You and I are highly favored. The Lord is with you and we have nothing to be afraid of. Let's hear about the shepherds as well today.
Boy. Okay, Joseph, don't be afraid to walk back into your family and all the fearful things there because this is of the Spirit, this is of God, and I am with you. Mary, your life is horribly, wonderfully disrupted, but you found favor with God, and you and I find favor with God. The shepherds also hear this same address to their fears. Watch this from Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. There were shepherds living out in the fields. That's not a good living situation. Keeping watch over their flocks by night. They're the night watchmen in the shepherds. Shepherds are low enough stature that their testimony was not acceptable in a court of law because they were chronically untrustworthy. These guys are so low on the totem pole, they get night duty. Okay? This, I think, is intended to speak to anyone in humanity that we might hear this along with them. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. That's fearful on steroids. You move from fight to flight to freeze. And these guys are frozen in fear. They are terrified. They are overwhelmed. The angel said to them, here it is, say it together. Wow. These overwhelming, terrifying, overpowering, brilliant emissaries from heaven, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people today in the town of David. A Savior has been born for you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. You know, in every encounter with the divine in the human experience throughout Scripture, the first words always address fear. You know, the song Amazing Grace, classic Christian song, "'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and then grace my fears relieved." Some of us here are in the pre-fear stage. I remember reading that Bill Gates considers himself a believer in God. He says, yeah, I believe in God because I don't know how else all the creation could be explained in all the cosmos. There's no other viable explanation. But I don't know what difference it makes in my life. I don't think he's been personally encountered by God. It's just an idea. And when we have been toying with an idea, there's no fear involved. But when we've been encountered with the eternity, the grandeur, the majesty, the splendor of God, it is overwhelming to us, and we feel our smallness, our impureness, our meaninglessness, and we are confronted by it. And into that, the shepherds hear, don't be afraid. I didn't come to crush. I came to save. I didn't come to hurt. I came to heal. I didn't come to rebuke. I came to redeem. I didn't come to end, I came to give you a beginning. So don't be afraid. Be filled with joy. And I love the fact that this is available to shepherds. And for those of you who didn't get straight A's in school, for those of you whose career didn't skyrocket up and to the right, for those of you whose families are not all you wish they were, for those of you who've made decisions you wish you could take back, come on. Receive the good news of great joy. Don't be afraid of God. Or don't be afraid there is no God. Good news. For Joseph, for Mary, for the shepherds, for you and for me. Let's not be afraid. I'd like to invite you to pray now. Just give you a moment. In the theme of Simply Christmas, let's just pause. Would you take a moment and do some business with God? And open your heart to Him and fears that have come to your mind and your heart, to your stomach and your bloodstream and to your brain, even in these minutes. Has God indeed allowed something into your life that can make you afraid? Bring it to God. And like Mary, receive His. You found favor. God so loved you, He sent His Son, that you might not perish, but have everlasting life. Perfect love casts out fear is another phrase from the Bible. Can you receive that love from God? Your circumstances may call for courage, because the circumstances won't change. But God wants to be in them with you. Lord, may this message move from our heads to our hearts, to our gut, to our feet, to the decisions we make about fight or flight, to care for those nearest to us in the midst of confusion and hurt. And to walk into our bangui's that we could avoid, but we are now bearers of Christ into the world. In Jesus' name. Amen.